I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
Amherst Town Supervisor Brian Culpa, who on Friday gave his final state of the town as Amherst Supervisor because he is his term is up in November, not running for re-election. And Brian, welcome back to Hardline.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
Doing all right, Brian. Before we get into the specifics, just an outline of the final state of the town under Supervisor Brian Culpa.
So as far as an outline goes, you know, what we talked about is a few things. First, we've had tremendous growth in Amherst over the course of my first my two terms. We've added $8 billion in property value, both through natural growth in property values, but specifically, you know, we added massive amount of new investment. And what that's done is it's lowered our rate per thousand on our tax to a 17-year low at 2.4. So, you know, a lot of that economic development stuff that we've talked about over the past 6 years or 7 years, you know, it's finally showing, you know, its dividends. And that's a great place to be, but we have a long way to go. We have, of course, to continue to move forward on several significant projects. We've got, you know, still to get the Boulevard Mall transacted and finalized and lined up for its future. We now have to deal with the Weinberg situation and the vacancies and the 60 acres of land that Weinberg takes up in Amherst. So we're going to have to confront that. And we've got to deal with starting to get the Central Park built out. So we expect to see shovels in the ground this spring over at the former Westwood site. But we're really putting an emphasis on youth and youth centers and growing our after-school and child care programs in this next year. And so 25, we're going to be very focused on a lot of that, continuing to build out playgrounds, continuing to build out sports fields, and help the young families that are calling the town of Amherst home, you know, with options and places for kids to recreate and be part of the community.
Brian, you know, last year, obviously, the big story was the tax bump, and we know the fallout from that, the town meetings. Is the town of Amherst seeing the benefit of those higher taxes?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, we knew going into that was back in the, you know, that was a tough budget, right? And when we saw, you know, your decisions were basically, hey, at that point, do you start cutting services or do you instead, you know, recognize that this is a growing town and the town is capable of moving forward because we were going to see resultant value increases in all of our properties and assets, and we were seeing true growth. And so, you know, being able to continue to invest with police, invest in senior services, and yet invest in youth services has shown its benefit, right? We still are a tremendous place that people want to move into, that people want to come to, both for business and for you know, to live. So it's truly kind of that live, work, play model. And a lot of communities right now are struggling. You know, they didn't bite the bullet. They didn't want to do tax increases, and they're struggling to deal with, you know, questions about service cuts, questions about service provision, questions about tax increases that, you know, in some cases worse than what we did, because at the end of the day, you know, every community had the same hit with inflation and had the same hit with interest rates. But we maintained our services. You know, we said this is important. We were going to keep growing. We were going to keep pushing forward. And you know, now what we see with the tax rate being at 2.4 per thousand, you know, shows, I think, that we're on the right track.
You mentioned the projects that still need to be completed. Obviously, the Boulevard Mall we know is far from being completed. But again, last year you and I talked and you said there's some infrastructure issues that need to be addressed. Are those being addressed?
Yeah, so this year we're starting construction on the offsite big sewer projects. You can see sewer projects down Bailey right now. You can see, and we're about to start a $30 million sewer interceptor. So we also have we're anticipating the start of construction at Maple and Bailey this spring, the intersection improvements there. So a lot of the offsite stuff is happening and getting done, and that's great. It primes the pump for change at the mall site itself.
And I also, obviously the Costco project is a big project, but if you drive by there, you see the work going on. It looks like they're adding another road to straight to the Costco site once it opens.
Yep. Yeah, there's a lot happening there right now. Ingress and egress is always going to, be paramount that they get all that stuff right. There's a lot happening. Dix has already got foundation permits approved. Costco's got a full set of permits in for approval. So, we're excited about that. If you think about the change, right, from that old UB annex to what's being built out there now, it continues that story about, yes, it takes a lot of effort from the town to help get some of those projects moving. But when you put in the effort, you see the benefit because you end up getting the growth and the resultant property value and tax benefits.
Another thing that I was following, I follow some of the random stuff, I understand, but I was following the JCPenney eminent domain back and forth between the town, and I know the town won that case, but JCPenney is still open. What was the point of the eminent domain, and what will we see from the result of that?
So the real issue with JCPenney's isn't the store itself or the brand or anything like that. I mean, we want it to continue to open and be open for as long as it can on that site. We've talked to Penny's about that. The biggest challenge for somebody to redevelop it is Penny's, just like a lot of other stores in that mall, had specific lease rights in terms of tying up the frontage of the mall, not being able to build out in front, not, parking lot and parking access, and specifically how the parking was configured. And so, it's the same challenge that, Limited had or the Sears had, or, it ties up the ability to redevelop and reconstruct because of sort of archaic lease.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
That's right.
And, we talked last week, we talked about Trader Joe's going to the Clarence side of transit, wanting to go. Has Amherst made an offer to them to be on the other side of transit where there's empty space in that plaza?
Well, so it's not, it's not for us to try to attract an individual store. We leave that up to the developers. I know that site in Clarence had been talked about for a number of other possibilities. I believe it's a Benderson-owned site. Obviously Benderson has a good relationship with Trader Joe's, and they would be looking to put it in a Benderson-owned property. I'm not exactly sure where it would fit into the mix. In Amherst, I know that we do have some vacancies, but again, it tends to, individual stores tend to, we don't, as a town, reach out to individual retailers. That's really the developers and the people who are doing the project development that to solicit.
And the final project before we get to other things, Supervisor, is Station 12. I noticed there's a big sign outside Station 12. Any word from them on where we go from here?
I'm everybody waits on bated breath in my office to hear that they're going to get some leases signed and that they're going to get tenants announced. It's really a very difficult spot. The town had no involvement in that project. It was 100% developer driven. And it was developed, or the site plan was approved prior to us really switching gears into mixed use. So it's difficult because had it been a mixed use project, I think we would see different results. Right now, you know, our hope is that they're going to announce some tenants for the buildings that they have already built. But again, I'm not going to count my chickens before they're hatched here on this one.
Supervisor, you know, you talk about the medical campuses in Amherst during your time and Maine and Transit and how that's developed during your two terms. When you look back on your time as Amherst supervisor, you know, what's the one positive you're pointing to? And when was probably the toughest stretch of time to be a supervisor during your two terms?
The positive, what I've told everybody, what if anybody points to anything and says, hey, the town did this well, it's really forming partnerships and using relationships to create opportunities, both relationships with development, relationships with healthcare, relationships with business, relationships with not-for-profit, with, you know, relationships with schools, both K through 12 and higher ed. And it's a very transactional world now, but I kind of pride ourselves on forging those relationships. And, you know, a highlight to that would be the Roswell Park project. There was no guarantee that that project would get done. There was a lot that had to happen. The town had to change some zoning. Simonelli Development had to complete a tough project. Roswell had to agree to come in. The leases had to work out correctly for the first years. Eventually, Roswell ended up exercising a purchase option. But everything had to fall into place perfectly. And, you know, that was a lot. It was, you know, it was a lot of back and forth, and it was very rewarding. But, you know, if not for relationships and if not for being able to work and trust other agencies and other sectors, then that project probably wouldn't have happened. The most difficult stretch is kind of interesting question. You know, 2020 and 2021, dealing with the COVID pandemic, I don't think it was very hard for any elected official that had to deal with that to look past it and say that was got to be the most difficult thing. Shutting government down and having businesses shut down in April and May and June of 2020 was probably the single most difficult thing that I've had to deal with in office.
So, Supervisor, what is next? Terms up in January of 26. Do you have the county executive office, something in Albany? What do you have eyed up?
I'm content to head into my private sector career, and I'm an architect and a planner in real life, I tell people, and I'm looking forward to sort of rejoining the field full time, and I'm still going to, you know, be an advocate for good projects and in good government, but for now, you know, I'm heading back to the private sector.
Any of the candidates for supervisor that you will be supporting?
Look, I mean, Sean Lavin is my deputy. You know, right now, Sean and I have a great working relationship. I think he's a wonderful leader in his own right. He's very different than I am. I'm a project-based, you know, and I tend to lean into the planning aspects and land use, and Sean's, I think, comes across more interested in the service end. And so, you know, I think he would make a wonderful supervisor someday if he's lucky enough and fortunate enough to win an election and get endorsed and then win an election. You know, but, you know, it's a very different approach than I would take. But I think that's great. And I think no matter who it is, the point of term limits and recognizing the end of your own term is that you know, the town gets to change pace and change direction, and, you know, we'll see where it all heads.
And final question, I should have asked this with all the other questions. Do you think one of these days in our lifetime, we will see the expansion of the Metro Rail through Amherst?
You know, I think we need to have transit expansion. It's long overdue to have a transit option to connect the two campuses and to connect the town of Amherst down to downtown. And, you know, with light rail, you know, I think light rail can be great. The question is, really is going to come down to, are we ever going to see funding at a federal level to support light rail, you know, or, you know, should we look at BRT, and buses, rapid transit? I'm not a transit expert. I can't answer that question. I just know that we have the crown jewel of the SUNY system at UB, and that, you know, the campuses having direct connection makes a ton of sense. So, you know, we have to figure out probably as a region, you know, what is the best way to actually answer our public transit issues, because we definitely have them.
All right, Amherst Town Supervisor Brian Culpa. Supervisor, I'm sure we'll talk again before your term's up, but thank you so much for your time today and throughout your years as Amherst Supervisor. Really appreciate it.
All right, thank you.
Hey, what's up, Flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday you'll hear us and see us chatting with big name celebrities.
And every Monday you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.